Welcome to the 9th installment of Hot Air in 2018. My name is Greg Esser. You have joined me as I shoot the breeze about the DC Breeze, that of course, the AUDL franchise hailing from the nation's capital. Right off the top, I usually preview my guest of the week, and this week I of course have a guest, but I'm going to keep you in suspense because there is more important, more pressing, more exciting news. The DC Breeze have qualified for the fourth time in franchise history for the playoffs. Super exciting. We'll see how far they can go. However, their spot in the playoffs in that AUDL Eastern Division is still a little bit up in the air. They don't have first. Of course, that belongs to Toronto, who have put together a spectacular season at 13-1. Their regular season is over. It could be second or third. And that placement will be based on the final week of the regular season, week 14 in the AUDL, the 14th and 15th of July. Three games will happen, all with critical consequences. Two will happen in the United States, where New York goes on the road to play against DC here in the nation's capital on Saturday the 14th at Cardinal Stadium. It's going to be a rocking good time at the show, but also the AUDL press and media are fired up because that will be the stadium game of the week, broadcast online, broadcast on some cable packages. We'll have Lepler and company around to broadcast that game and give you the quality audio that you know and love. But also, New York will play again on Sunday against the Philadelphia Phoenix, a game that was not designed to happen that day, but is a rain makeup from earlier in the season. Simultaneously to the Saturday night game, there's a game going on between Montreal and Ottawa up in Canada. So, quick run through of the scenarios. The easiest one, that just gives us, you know, one game, the consequences very clear and linear. If the Breeze win, they will go 8-5-1. They will lock up second place. They will host a playoff game. If New York, as long as New York wins one game on the weekend, then they would occupy that third seed. The Breeze couldn't fall to third place unless New York sweeps the weekend, beating Philly and beating DC. But if New York doesn't get a win and Montreal wins, then Montreal takes that third spot, and Montreal will be coming down to DC for that playoff game. So Breeze are the team that can control their own destiny. They get the win, they get the second place, they host a playoff game. That will be exciting. I think it is slated, at least I shouldn't jinx it or anything, but stadium time has already been discussed for the 20 or 21st of July, so that following weekend. But the Breeze have to get there. They have to earn that playoff, that home game. The other thing I wanted to talk about up front is the most recent victory the Breeze have. It was over the Philadelphia Phoenix, and it occurred here in D.C. on June 30th. I haven't talked about it in this space yet, so I just wanted to kind of fill you in on some of my commentary of how the game went down. It was pretty lopsided. Breeze goes up early, 10-4, end of the first quarter, up by 6. And that buffer lasts most of the game. If not, they're building on it. They end up winning it 25-15, so the biggest victory over Philly on the year, really only victory over Philly on the year, since the earlier game was a lightning-delayed tie that they ended up calling a little bit early, earlier than AUDL rules would suggest if they had played out the overtime rules. But it's like taking control from the beginning, and from watching the game, I also found it notable, the teams were both willing to throw up 50-50s. And the Breeze weren't overwhelmingly winning those 50-50s. They weren't beating them in the air. They weren't necessarily winning to space. It was when the fundamentals of the game went according to plan, the Breeze just looked like the superior team. They executed on their strategies. Yes, an ultimate game has the bounces of the disc, the extra float, a little bit of wind can change the outcome of something. I think those were evenly split. So it really looked like the superior team and the superior game plan came out on top in this one. I'll talk a little bit about a couple of the players that were in the game, and particularly DC's MVP candidate, or should be if he's not already on the tips of people's tongues, Roan McDonnell, spent a lot of his time still hucking to the end zone, a little bit in the backfield, maybe playing that initiator role. So looking more like kind of the post-hamstring injury, doesn't look like Roan's being hindered by that injury anymore, and he's told me in person that it is not an issue anymore, but he's still playing a little bit more of that distributor role, which is interesting. Again, I think he's showing the flexibility. I mean, you're going to look at his full season stats at the end of next week and realize he's played everything this year. He's played defense, he's distributed, he's been the initiating cut, He's been the downfield deep threat, and I think that is a really good case for an MVP campaign. They're just truly the jack of all trades, and when his team needed him to step into different roles, he was able to do so. Other key contributors on this game were Joe Richards, Christian Boxley, Delrico Johnson, putting up, what, 4, 6, and 5 goals, respectively, if you can keep that order straight in your head. But the interesting thing about it is Delrico and Christian Boxley put those up from the O-line, and that's not a place these guys have been playing. So a change in strategies there a little bit, and Boxley may be a name you haven't heard of, but you will know it by the end of today's episode because he is also my guest. I held off long enough on telling you, and I bet you're surprised now. A guy with only 5 Breeze career games under his belt is coming on the podcast here, and I do want to get it over to him, but interesting that he started on the D-line very quickly, now has fallen into an O-line role and a finisher and put up 6 goals against Philadelphia last week. I'll talk about those, and the last thing I want to mention here up front is our sponsors. Thanks goes out to these guys for their unwavering support to the Breeze in 2018. Papa John's Pizza, they've got that Breeze 50 half-price order code online after a Breeze victory. Spectrum Management, Port City Brewing Company, Oak Creek Ultimate Apparel, Murphy's Grill, which is the post-game meetup spot for the DC Breeze. It's right next to the stadium, and they accommodate us during the postgame. American Ultimate Academy, Universe Point Cleats, Cobalt CRM Solutions. I also want to thank our nonprofit partners, Spirit of Sport, the American Equity Invite, and ForestPlanet.org. Before I get over to Christian Boxley, aka Box, no one really knows him by his full name, but rather that abbreviation of his last name, I will hand it over here to Broke Royals. Play us in. Enjoy this episode of Hot Air. I am joined with full body sweatsuit, the greatest herd around the world, just call him Box, Christian Boxley, for episode 9 of Hot Air in 2018. Christian, I've known you for a couple years now. It is weird for me to call you Christian. I've always been calling you Box. I might go back and forth between the two today, but warm up that microphone for me.
Hey, how's it going?
Is that mic hot? Is it on?
I believe it's on. If I can tell by the little lines on your phone, it appears to be on.
My phone, this is a high-tech recording studio, and I'd prefer if you did not refer to the lines on my phone. So, as I said, I've known you for years, but I think you've busted on to everyone's radar in a big way the last 3 months between a Georgetown program that qualified for Nationals, between a viral video clip of you scoring the greatest to send you guys to Nationals, between playing 5 games for the Breeze now in which you've scored 18 goals. People need to know your name, but where did you come from? Where did it start? How did you get into Ultimate?
Sure. Christian Boxley from Baltimore, Maryland, Georgetown grad, and getting into Ultimate, I didn't really play in high school at all. And coming into Georgetown, I knew I wanted to play a new sport. I played a little bit of basketball in high school, JV 2 years, and then varsity 2 years. But I knew I wanted to play a new sport coming in, and luckily someone in my orientation group was a captain of his high school team.
Yeah, he was very nearly, he could have been a duck boat aficionado, but it turned out it was Ultimate.
Exactly. So
as luck would have it.
Yeah, very lucky. So he told me to come out to the first practice, and I did, and continued to come to practice, mostly because I didn't have too much going on as a freshman.
Yeah, you were a boring freshman?
Very boring.
Yeah, what were some of your other big hobbies freshman year?
Hobbies freshman year, I would play pickup basketball because I still enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I've gone walks.
Long walks.
Campus, yeah.
Pickup basketball, long walks, and a little bit of ultimate frisbee.
A little bit of class.
Okay. Just a ladies' works. Man. Yeah.
Absolutely. but not really. I'm terribly awkward. So.
Okay. So you end up showing up to practice, and it sticks. Yeah. Why do you think it stuck?
It stuck. I wanted to learn how to throw a flick, honestly. So I gave myself a year to learn how to do that. So I was like, after a year, I'm going to, cut this out and then stick to basketball. But in that year, I would definitely learn how to throw a flick and kind of stuck around.
Because, now, I've been your coach, and I don't want to throw you too far under the bus here, but some would advocate that you still have not learned how to throw a flick.
Yeah.
How would you respond to those haters?
I would respond by saying you're a little bit right, but it's still coming along.
Yeah. So is that why you haven't been able to quit Ultimate yet? Because you still haven't mastered the flick?
Still haven't thrown that perfect flick. If perfect flick gets thrown, I am out.
Would you walk away in the middle of a Breeze game if you ever delivered the perfect flick?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. A quick jog to the locker room and then drive back home. Yeah, my Ultimate career is over.
Got it. So you stick on the Georgetown team. I get there as a coach. Your sophomore year, and junior year is a little bit of a down year. Tell me that story.
Yeah.
And then dealt to that into senior year.
Yeah, so junior year, we did not qualify for regionals. Not really a big deal in the broader Ultimate community. A mid-level college team has a down year, doesn't make regionals. But for us, we really took that personally.
Sure.
Came back senior year with a vengeance.
Uh-huh. What'd that mean? More workouts?
More workouts, greater commitment to practices. We would have more film sessions. Just a better team, more team-friendly atmosphere.
Okay.
We were doing more social things together.
Take that to heart, all ye struggling programs. Georgetown doubled down.
Doubled down on the workouts, doubled down on the social events. You only have 4 years together, so make the most of those.
I hear that.
Yeah, so senior year comes around. We're hitting the gym. We're hitting the practice field. We had a terrible 10 p.m. to midnight practice schedule the entire year, but we made it work. People would stick around after midnight to continue throwing with the lights off.
Yeah.
Commitment was over the top.
Yeah.
And hit a hot streak at the end of the spring going into the series, and our region had 4 bids, which made the path to Nationals a little easier.
Sure.
And got hot at the right time and won 4 games Saturday to qualify.
Right. But against no slouches. I mean, the Mid-Atlantic has a ton of great programs.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So an easier road as more bids, but, you know, there are more teams to defeat then.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then talk to me a little bit. You know, that's kind of the where you came from story. But in making the Breeze this year, and kind of assessing your game candidly right now, tell me, you know, who you are in terms of play style. If someone asked you what Boxley brings to the table, what do you say?
Sure. I won't go into too many weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't want the scouts here in.
Yeah.
But in terms of what I can bring to a team, I think I'm a quicker guy. You know, I can kind of high point the disc a little bit.
Yep.
So cutting-wise, I can get open sometimes. I can play solid defense sometimes. Just try to be an all-around player that can fit kind of a variety of roles if I need to, but can also stick to one role if that's what the team really needs.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting to hear you describe yourself in that all-around role, because another thing you and I were just talking about is kind of what do you think your keys to this, you know, early performance on the Breeze was. And why don't you go into that conversation a little bit more? Because it sounded like you were actually pretty focused on a certain role.
Yeah. So coming in, O-line was pretty set, and I was kind of on one of the D-lines and would be one of the initiator cutters on a turn.
Yeah.
But then there were a few injuries to the O-line, and Daryl, our coach, decided to throw me on the O-line.
Yeah, this Coach Stanley, of course.
Yeah.
So, we just call him Daryl because we're so friendly. First name basis. Absolutely. Name dropping.
Decided to put me on the O-line, and my role really kind of honed in on this finisher role where as the offense starts flowing, you know, I'm downfield ready to catch either a deep look or a big under and either score goals or continue moving the disc as needed.
Yeah. And so by honing into that role, you think you've been, that's opened the keys to some more success. It's certainly that counting stats, which aren't everything, but it's a big factor to your quick acclaim.
Sure.
And 18 goals later.
Yeah.
Tell me this, so you joined a little bit midstream because you had a college season to focus on. As that ended, then you started to jump with both feet into the Breeze season. You know, give me, assess the vibe of the Breeze camp a little bit.
Yeah, we're feeling good as a team. We feel like we're hitting our stride.
Yeah.
I think we're winners of 5 of the last 6 games.
I think that's right.
Something like that. So we're hitting our stride. We're feeling comfortable. People are feeling comfortable within their roles. Also want to shout out some of the other young guys on the team that are stepping up pretty big.
Yeah.
Fall and Reese Bergeron blowing up unders. Quinn on a turn, killing it.
Yep.
Zach, steady presence on the O-line. And then Joe.
Zach Norbom, Zach Norbom, if that's who you're referring to, is the old young guy. Because yes. I played threes with him.
Yeah, the old
He's been
young
around
guy.
Forever.
He has been around for forever. Yeah, but yeah. Young guy at heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Richards, Roland Skies. Yeah, some guys are really stepping up.
A real shot in the arm of college guys this year, for sure.
Absolutely. So we're feeling very good. We have our whole team together. And once we had our full team together about 5 games ago, that's when we really started improving and hitting that stride that I talked about.
Nice. So then talk to me a little bit about that next game that's coming up. You haven't been active against New York yet, but what do you expect in terms of New York? And what's your approach to the game?
Yeah, so what I expect against New York, every AUDL game is a challenge. There are no easy gimme games. New York has a lot of talented guys. So going in, really approach it in the same way that we approach every game. Now we have to play our game to win. It's not going to be one that's just given to us.
So you'd already mentioned the video room. Are you looking at video already? Or, what's your approach?
Yeah, so watch a couple games, see how their offense works, see how their defenders play. And don't want to give, again, any keys to...
Yeah, well, don't worry. We're not going to send New York the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll have a special key on it, some sort of password they would never be able to guess. Empire sucks with, like, 3 X's.
Yeah, we're going to be prepared. Daryl sends out matchups and defensive assignments. So we're always mentally there and physically. Yeah.
So you're looking at their offense, though, but I imagine you'll be playing a little bit more offense for the Breeze. Therefore, you'll be matching up a lot with their D-line.
Yeah.
Are there any players on their D-line that you either have a little bit of experience either on the college field or the club field? That you're excited to match up with again?
Yeah, I would love to, not the name drop, but Jabron on the Empire.
Jabron Miser, sure.
Yeah, he has skied me a couple times at club regionals.
He's a great player.
Yeah, very good player, very good player.
But you'd like to get a couple back?
Yeah, I would love to get a couple back. Preferably in this game coming up.
Nice. So don't want to jinx anything, but if you are looking forward to that playoff picture then, we talked a little New York. Are they one of the teams you get most excited about playing? Potentially, you're talking about playing Montreal or Philadelphia or Toronto. Do any of those teams jump off the page to you as teams you would be most excited to match up against as this year continues?
Yeah, I wouldn't say especially any team, but each of those teams has beaten us earlier in the season. So I'd be excited to go up against any of those teams. Again, they give us challenging games and... Winning each of those games would mean going up against Toronto, who I'm also very excited to play against.
Yeah.
They've kind of ruled the East for the past, 3-4 years, something like that?
Six.
6 years, there it is.
Since the league
started.
Since the second year of the league. First year of the league, they were not involved, 2012. But 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, this is the sixth year.
Yeah, so the East kind of goes through them. So yeah. I'd be very excited to match up with them again, potentially handing them their second loss of the season.
Nice. So let's change gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about your personality and where you find yourself right now. Something that I've talked to guys in the past with, I think you see, even with some of the turnover this year on the Breeze, there's probably some ultimate burnout that's involved. Guys that are playing 2 and 3 seasons a year. So you are a player that just played a college season, and now you're playing a pro season, and you're already looking forward. I saw your name on the best amateur team in D.C., the best men's amateur team, I should say, Truck Stop. Very exciting news and congratulations.
Thank you.
But expected, considering you're already lighting it up for the Breeze. But tell me how, both mentally and physically, you're kind of avoiding that fatigue or burnout that might come with 8 months of season in high-level play.
Yeah. Burnout is a thing that happens to a lot of players. But I'm 22, so I'm still relatively young.
Yeah. 22-year-olds don't get burnout?
Not usually, no.
Okay.
Especially when, I guess mentally to start.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just getting started.
Okay, cool.
Like those first 2 years of college, I don't know if I was totally into Frisbee like I am now.
Yeah.
And right now, playing against best college competition at Nationals in Milwaukee, playing against some of the best competition for the Breeze. I feel like I'm just getting started here, so mentally, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
just
piquing your interest.
Exactly.
Cool.
Physically,
That's more of a grind, maybe.
Yeah, a little more of a grind. But practices are, you know, time to hang out. It doesn't necessarily have to be like, go, go, go. This is where we're getting better. Like, this is where we're grinding. It's also time to check up on guys' weekends and see how everyone's doing and spend time with, you know, people that you like spending time with.
Sure.
So physically, the burnout isn't too bad at all because the Breeze are a close-knit group and we enjoy being around each other. So that definitely helps.
Nice. Having been in the Georgetown huddle myself, one thing that we do here on the podcast is a little segment called That's My Dad.
That's My Dad!
It's about heckle stories. And I know that huddle has some characters in it. I know there are some contrarians. And that type of banter flies. So I think you've got something good for me today. Some little inside, some of your previous experiences and some of the heckles you know from being around the Ultimate community. What do you got for That's My Dad?
So I won't go into any heckles against other teams because I've heard those can be pretty bad. You don't want to, you know, put Georgetown in a bad light.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can tell one story. At regionals this past year, I was getting heckled by my own teammate, actually.
Some of the best are self-heckles.
Yeah, so we were warming up and playing 3v3 in a box. I got fouled and called a foul. You don't usually call fouls in 3v3 in a box, but this one was particularly egregious.
Uh-huh. So you stand by the foul call?
I stand by the foul call, absolutely.
Okay.
And then my teammate, who, you know, is supposed to be supportive, you know, we're getting ready for the biggest tournament of the season, what could be the last day of Ultimate we play, starts sarcastically calling me a superstar, and then continues to foul me.
A little prima donna.
Yeah, a little prima donna, you know, and then continues to foul me even more egregiously as the drill continues.
Yep. I've seen this in play in some different scenarios.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Like,
so did he,
back on it.
Did he get inside your head? So that's the thing.
He did a little bit. I was pretty angry.
Okay. So an effective heckle.
It was effective heckle. I was not only angry at the heckle itself, but I was angry at the fact that he was being especially physical. Like his play was a little bit dangerous, especially for a warm-up before we were playing, you know, four games to extend our season.
So the heckle itself may have been part of the physicality.
I guess so, yeah.
Wow, he's just hitting on every level.
Yeah,
physically, mentally breaking you down.
Yeah, but I guess thinking back on it worked because that day we did qualify for nationals.
Yeah.
So maybe he was onto something.
Whoa. This just took a new level of defense. Yeah. The other regularly occurring segment here on Hot Air, and I think you know about it, is called Over Underrated.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a noun to react to. It might be Ultimate related. It might not be. And I want to see, you know, if you think in the zeitgeist of society, whether this thing is over or underrated. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
But I might grill you a little bit.
Sure.
Let's start off with full body covering to play Ultimate. Like a full, maybe like a sweatsuit or like full body tights.
Yeah.
Over underrated. Because I think that, I mean, I'll let it to you to diagnose if you think it's trendy or not. And then tell me over underrated.
Very underrated.
Underrated. You think that this is not trendy enough?
No, not trendy enough.
Everyone should be going.
Practicality over the charts.
Yeah. Well, why is it so practical?
You know, you get to avoid tan lines. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm big into how my legs look.
Okay,
and I'm not into, you know, the sock tan line or the three quarters tights tan line.
So okay.
Just go full tights. Avoid the tan lines.
Yeah.
You can wear a sun hoodie.
Well,
a
problem that you don't have here, though, is some people are just pasty pale when they have no tan lines.
Very true. Very true. Well, don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
For those people, you don't have to worry about, I guess, egregious sunburn.
Yeah.
If you're wearing full tights.
Okay. To the sunburn angle. I like that.
So, practicality over the charts, extremely underrated.
Full body sweatsuit.
Yeah.
Next up, you had a very significant one. I mentioned it already, but that greatest that sent you to nationals, but just pull away from that moment and just tell me over underrated. It's a hyperbole. The name is a hyperbole. Over underrated, the greatest.
I'd say pretty overrated, if I'm being honest.
Yeah?
So like I said, I come from a basketball background.
Yeah.
And, you know, saving a ball from going out of bounds is very typical.
Like, sure.
It happens multiple times a game.
That's right.
So coming in the Frisbee, that's just like instinct. If the disc is going out of bounds, you jump out of bounds. And before touching out of bounds, you save it and throw it back in.
Yeah.
And of course, it's rarer in Frisbee, but
it's a little harder to grip a Frisbee and then re-release it.
It is a little harder.
Yeah.
But the instinct is still there.
Yeah.
So that's why I got to go with overrated.
Okay. Next up, flick hucks.
Ooh, very, I would say overrated.
Yeah.
But I don't have one, and that might just be...
sour grapes?
Yeah, exactly. I would say overrated. Mostly because there are a lot of great players that don't have a great foot tuck. And if you can keep the disc moving, if you can, you know, hit people that are, you know, 40 yards away or hit resets out in the space, then you can still be a very good player without, you know, the 60, 70 yard bomb.
But from at least one side of your body.
Yeah, okay. One side of the body.
You'd opt for the hammer as opposed to the flick hook?
I'll go with scuba.
The scuba?
Yeah.
Yeah? How many yards can you throw a scuba?
About five. A wobbly 5 yard scuba is the best I have right now.
Okay. So really you're a backhand guy.
I'm a backhand
guy.
Don't let the scouts know. Don't let New York know.
Okay. Yeah. Password encrypted. Impossible to access this podcast.
Oh yeah.
I'll take your downloads. Just don't listen. Next up, popular malt beverage, Smirnoff Ice.
I have to go with underrated.
Underrated?
Underrated.
People hate finding these because they have to consume them very rapidly.
They hate finding them, but have you ever just sipped on one?
Is that the way to go?
Pretty tasty.
A slow sip to the Smirnoff Ice?
It's like a Sprite, honestly. Just sit back, watch a movie.
Yeah?
A couple Smirnoff Ices, sip on
a couple.
They're pretty tasty.
Okay. Yeah. The slow sip of the Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah, just try it.
Does the temperature matter?
It has to be cold. Just like every other beverage, has to be cold. Pretty refreshing. If you haven't sipped on one, you're missing out.
Okay. So maybe that's the pro move next time you get iced is just take it real casual.
Yeah, take it casual. You might get ribbed by people around you, but if you're up to it, enjoy the beverage in front of you.
So we've talked a little bit of basketball today as a previous part of your sports career. The big news in the basketball world, of course, LeBron James going to LA. Tell me, over underrated, 2019 iteration of the LA Lakers.
Ooh. That's tough to say, but in this
They're not fully formed right now.
In this moment, I would say overrated. Mostly because the Warriors are just way too good.
Yeah, they're not going to make a dent.
They're not going to make a dent. Nobody can really make a dent.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any team in the NBA that has a run.
All the pundits are just talking about a second run at best.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would say overrated. The Warriors, I will guarantee right now, they will win the next three championships.
Wow. That's a bold stake.
Yeah.
You didn't come here for basketball news, but we got a hot take.
Hot take right there.
It is going to inflate his ego to mention him so recently after the LA Lakers. But next up, over underrated, teammate of yours, both on the Breeze, as well as a college teammate of yours, Troy Holland.
Ooh, very underrated.
Underrated player?
Yeah,
he's been lighting it up this year.
People should know Troy Holland's name.
Yeah.
The guy grinds on offense. He gets 15 yards under, 50 yard unders at will. Just consistent disc mover.
Yeah.
Just fantastic player.
And style icon? Is Troy Holland a style icon?
In the worst way possible.
In the worst way possible.
Yeah. Dance moves, probably the worst on the team. Definitely the worst on the team. Every once in a while, he'll come through with a fly outfit.
Yeah.
But there was a phase where he needed to get a haircut for about 2 months. So as a player, underrated, fashion-wise, if you can even say, if this is even a discussion, definitely overrated.
Yeah. If anyone has rated him, he becomes overrated.
Yeah.
Good enough. So you've survived my questions and my round of over-underrated. We have gone through the agenda today. I'm going to turn over the hot mic to you, though. Is there anything pressing on your mind as the Breeze season goes into its final stage or even in your life in general that you think is necessary to get out to the hot air world?
Yeah, so first thing, if you haven't tried it, a great post-practice meal, pasta with a big glass of whole milk.
Plain pasta?
Not plain pasta.
Okay.
You can go red sauce.
Okay.
Pesto sauce has been a recent favorite of mine.
Sure.
But really just any kind of pasta.
Okay.
With whole milk, you will feel amazing after.
Some insight into the box diet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe there's a marketing opportunity in that. I feel like the box meal.
The box meal.
Yeah.
Pasta.
Yeah.
Any food companies hit me up. And then I'd say any youths in the area.
Yeah.
Any youths listening.
Yeah.
If you want to make your way out to Georgetown, we can give you a quick tour. You can get to meet some people in the program.
A college recruitment program happening here?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, Georgetown is on the up and up.
Yeah, and they're throwing players in the Breeze direction left and right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Georgetown is...
How many Georgetown alum are on the Breeze this year? You got Kerrigan, Troy...
Oh, Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, Houston. Yeah.
Oops. Sorry.
Yeah, I think those four.
But four pretty, players, yeah. That's a chunk.
That's a pretty significant
amount.
So, yeah, any youths in the area looking at schools, just take a quick peek at Georgetown.
Yeah, you're bringing back. I try to get away from this recruitment
ad. Yeah, no. You're coming. You should
this
come to Georgetown.
This podcast is not sponsored by Georgetown. And until they throw some bucks this way.
Yeah. And then I would like to talk about the mixed game up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, sure.
Breeze and Thunderbirds.
Yeah, Marcus Thal talked about it before it occurred. No, Marcus Thal came on right after it occurred. So we've talked about it on Hot Air before, but give us your perspective. That'd be interesting.
That was the most fun Ultimate I have ever watched in person. I think we definitely need to have more opportunities like that.
Yeah.
Not only from a fan perspective, but from opportunity perspective. Giving... everyone from every different background, you know, opportunity to play in front of fans, opportunity to get played for the paid to play, just equitable opportunities in general need to be a priority for the AUDL and the Breeze in general. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think there's any games slated to be here in the nation's capital this year, but we'll look at that 2019 schedule and see if there's. I guess 17. We had the women's game, which was really cool. The DC Women All Stars. This year there was that mixed game, and we'll see what's on the docket next year, but hopefully something that'll happen right here in our own hometown.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on Hot Air. I'm going to call it a wrap here. Thanks for listening. Adios.
See you guys.